Hello, and welcome to Don't Evolve Me, the place like Ash, Kutcher's Pikachu, we don't evolve. We just level up. Welcome to Season 3. We're doing things differently. Brandon, how are you?
Living
I don't
dream.
Give a fuck. We're getting into Creatures Commandos right now.
All right.
I do. For those who do follow Don't Evolve Me, I will say, I'll give a little context. Cut me off after a minute, Brandon. So starting in Season 3, we're just getting into the meat and potatoes of it. We're talking just the topic. We're doing Creatures Commandos, DCU, and we'll leave all the other extra stuff at the end. And that's basically what we're going to do from here on out. So that, yeah, we're just getting into it right away. Because once we get talking, it'll be like about 30 minutes before we get on topic. It's what life of ADHDers. So let's get into it. Creatures Commandos, the soft launch for James Gunn, DCU. The season is over. All 7 episodes have been released. Brandon, what is your just general thoughts on the season?
I mean, it makes me excited. I think that's what I would say.
Yeah.
Excited for the future, to DC.
I feel that. That's definitely on there. More or less, I think just James Gunn, it kind of just confirms that James Gunn's got this. He can take a story that people aren't really, no one asked for. No one asked for Creatures Commandos, at least not like from a general population perspective. No one asked for Creatures Commandos. It's definitely not the first one that I thought of like of a TV show.
Definitely not what I thought would kick off the new DCU.
For sure.
A cartoon, yeah.
But it was a really good watch. And I think the way I phrase it is, it's very much just James Gunn Guardians of the Galaxy feel. It is, he does this really, this thing about the team writing where he makes this a bunch of really cool characters. They go through this plot that is more or less interesting, exciting, but not like huge. Maybe Guardians of the Galaxy is a little bit different, but it never felt like huge, if that makes sense. I guess in Creatures Commandos, the fate of the world was at stake, kind of.
Yeah.
But like, it just, it's like one of those stories that feels smaller. It feels more character based, but does enough for the larger lore and context. Like it adds lore.
World building. Yep. World building.
But the main focus is always on the characters. And I think just James Gunn, again, if it isn't Guardians of the Galaxy, if it isn't Scooby-Doo, technically, because he wrote the Scooby-Doo movie. Bit of lore for you. If it's not Suicide Squad, Peacemaker. Like, again, he does it with Creatures Commandos. He makes you fall in love with characters. He gives them these characters that you don't think you would fall in love with otherwise. Backstories that makes you care about them. It makes you cry for them. And makes you love. And then throws him in on a plot that is more or less engaging and interesting. So I wrote a list of like general thoughts. The first one was obviously that I love the James Gunn writing, the team writing.
Yep.
Bride is dope. Frankenstein is interesting. I think that's the best way to put it. He's just a very different character, but like anytime he speaks, I don't know if it's just David Harbour or if it's the writing. I'm in on his monologues, his crazy, deranged, narcissistic, monster-like monologues that isn't like Frank in reality. I tried to do a thing there and I failed.
Move on quick. No.
Move on. Frank Grillo, I thought, is a very captivating lead. Like his voice acting, it was like actually just very, just the grovelness of his voice. I don't know why. It fit really well, but I'm like, I want to hear more of him. Frank Grillo, just speak to me, Daddy. I don't know. Like, that's, I don't know what it is, but I'm like,
be my new Siri.
All I know is I understand why Princess really was into the, you know, older men. I get it.
Old Ric Flag.
Also, Ric Flag Jr. and Ric Flag Sr. being like very similar characters and like very similar, like it's such a, I like how they explained it or they tried to explain it, but it threw me off because I'm like, Ric Flag Jr. is not that young. he's not a young character.
Yeah, right.
Like,
yeah,
Joel McKinnon, you know, he looks like a 40-year-old.
Yeah, 40, yeah.
And Frank Grillo is... I don't think he's much older than Joel Kinnaman, is he?
Probably not.
I should have looked this up. I can't
imagine more than like 50, yeah. Probably like 50, if I had to guess.
Joel, what's his name? Kinnaman? Oh, I didn't know you.
But yeah, I do like how they did that. I mean, they're basically the same character, but they're also not the same character.
Yeah. And it almost comes across as like you're backtracking. Okay. This actually makes sense. So Frank Grillo is 59 years old. I did not think he was 59 years old.
I would have guessed he was close to 60, yeah.
And Joel Kinnaman is 45. So there's a 15-year... Wait. 14.
59
minus
45. Yeah. Sorry. So there's, my computer glitched out and I had a brain fart. My brain also glitched out for a second there.
There's a 14-year difference. And then in the cartoon, they're like, yeah, I had him when I was 18. And they explain it. I'm like, okay. I'm happy you explained it because it didn't make sense in my brain. But yeah, they're very similar. And I thought just they more or less like are the same character. And I know they do this in comics. And I know Rick Flagg Sr. and Jr., they did the same. Like, that's a thing. And I also know that like in Marvel, Nick Fury Sr. and Jr. is also a thing. Sr. is the white version of the character. Jr. is the black version of the modern character. So more or less, it seems like they were doing that. What I really loved about this show too is that every monster was their own, like in a weird way, their own tragic villain.
Yep.
Like, yeah, they're monsters, but they're not like, they weren't just born monsters. They were made this way. Dr. Phosphorus was obviously not the greatest human, but was forced in that situation and became that monster. You were like,
I mean, he was trying to cure cancer or whatever, right? Wasn't that his whole thing? Like, yeah, he took some money from some shady people, but he was trying to cure cancer and he just got the absolute worst ending possible.
Like, he's not the most morally or ethical person in the world,
but he's not a villain.
He's not, well, he became a villain, but you understood
as a person though. Yeah.
Bride was born but falls in love with Eric, not Frankenstein, and basically for 100 years is chased by Frankenstein.
Shouldn't that be like the other way around? Because isn't the whole thing everyone always says that the doctor's name is Frankenstein and Frankenstein is Frankenstein's monster?
Yep. So here's the thing. And you've been to my house. You've seen the Frankenstein bride stuff everywhere. If you go to my house, there is Frankenstein all over the place. There is the bride all over the place. Like, I have a whole... I was looking at it while taking a shit right before doing this episode. Because there is a poster of the bride and Frankenstein in the bathroom. And so I asked Sapphire. I was just like, before we even started this, what her thoughts were on the take. And she kind of just explained it like... She's so used to the characters being told of that Frankenstein is the victim. And that's the story. And that's like the lore that she knows. The bride was more or less the same. Frankenstein was a sympathetic monster. Whereas like this version was like the general population version of it, where Frankenstein's the monster. So I think they took that lore of it. And she kind of explained it like, I really like how James Gunn wrote everything. Like, he really likes these two characters, but she's having a hard time being like, they're different. They're not the same Frankenstein. But the bride more or less is the same. Like, she's like, yeah, if like those events happen, her character seems right on track. Whereas I feel like this Frankenstein is more or less like what everyone thinks of rather than what actually was written.
Right. Like the perception,
But yeah, so Bride was born, fell in love with Eric. You get the backstory of like her learning different things. You see that love, and then, you know, Frankenstein kills, and then it's kind of just what Frankenstein does.
I mean, not to get too like in the weeds here, but I mean, that's like grooming, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, literally creating a person and...
I mean, basically, yeah. Thanks, Brandon, for ruining the love story. I mean, it's not. It is definitely a question of like, is this the ethical, moral thing to do? You know, if you create life, your moral, it's more or less your father romantically getting involved. I don't know. I think like in this weird situation where it's like the reality is completely being switched. You know, because like if you have a child through the natural process, there is like that 15, 20, 30, 40 year gap, whatever that age gap is. Whereas like this, it's like you more or less, you do an experiment and then, you know, you have a being that gains 20 years of maturity rather quickly. So
yeah, maybe we should.
That's where I'm like, full stop. It's a weird twist on things. I'm just saying, like, I don't know what's right.
Yeah, it's a cartoon.
What's wrong? I just know it happened in the cartoon. I'm not going to say I accept it or this is what we should.
I'm sorry. I should have even brought it up.
How dare you? This is what happened when you get to the weeds.
It's
a fairy.
That's what I thought. Yeah, that's all I could think about when I was watching that episode. I was like, this is weird.
I'm not saying it's a great love story, man. It's just anyway. All right. We have Weasel has the backstory, right?
Yeah,
and I feel like Weasel might have like the most tragic. Because it's like he's framed as just like he murders children, and it's like he's more or less a dog.
Yep, yeah, he's basically just a fun-loving animal. Yeah,
he wants to play. Who like if you attack him or if he gets the order to attack, he will fucking destroy you like the monster does, but naturally speaking, he's just a very anxious dog who wants love.
Mm-hmm.
And so like
bug eyes like my chihuahua.
Oh god, I see it now. But yeah, like,
hers aren't quite that bad, but
his story's so tragic because like he found he found a family and then that family gets tragically burned alive and
he gets blamed for it.
He gets blamed, and then like the one he made the connection for, he watched die. And I'm like, that's sad. Oh, he's just chasing squirrels. And I'm just like, god damn. Like, and I love that little bit of like he's just chasing squirrels because I feel like a lot of people suffer from like different like mental illness that you cannot see, but like from the outside looking in, you're just like, oh, he's just it's minor, you're just playing it off. It's like he's having a dream. It's like, no, he's going through some trauma right now, but of course you don't know that because he can't communicate that or speak it to you. Nina, we learned about her story the last episode. It's the one that's probably the most fresh in my mind. And then GI Robot, he just wants to kill Nazis with his friends, man. That's all he wants. His story's like tragic and like missing in a different kind of way. Like missing his, he's like he reminds me of like the high school graduate that never was able to move on, and he just wants to just play video games with his friends. Like that's all he wants to do, you know. And like everybody else has families and they're doing all their other things. Like I just want to kill Nazis with my friends, and that's what he's looking for.
Yeah, then he finds this friend finds a new friend that takes really good care of him, and it turns out they're all Nazis, and he murders every one of them.
I forgot about that. Yeah.
How unlucky. I mean, how if you are a Nazi, why would you buy a Nazi killing robot?
You know, if we parallel it with real world, it makes sense.
Yeah. You think so?
Yeah. Yeah. Not to get into too much into the deep political nature of our world, but it just seems like you take the truth of something, they're gonna think of it a different way, and they're like, I don't know, I'm not surprised. It's not a it wouldn't surprise me that this happened. Like if there was a robot that murdered Nazis, it wouldn't surprise me that a Nazi bought it, brought it to the world, and then a massacre happened because it brought it to a Nazi gathering. It wouldn't shock me.
No.
Then again, moving on again. A lot of shit would shock me right now. Or a lot of shit wouldn't shock me at this point.
Yeah.
I digress. So,
The Mina's was also pretty tragic. I mean, she literally didn't do anything. She was just a baby born with a deformity.
And her father I feel like the dad almost had a I feel like the dad almost had a more tragic story.
Well, yes and no.
I mean, I guess as a father,
he dies in the end. Yeah, he dies in the end, so he's not alive to continue living that tragedy like she is. Well, I guess neither is she.
Oh shoot! I was gonna do spoiler alert before all of this.
Oh, sorry.
Maybe I'll have to do a preview.
Yeah. Spoiler alert.
Well,
there's only 7 episodes. Go watch it. It's not that long. It's worth it.
It's not. It's not. Yeah. Spoiler. We're talking to everything. Nina's story is very tragic, especially with the ending, because like she is the most innocent person or monster of all of them, including Weasel here. And she's the one who essentially takes the punishment. But I also, we can get into it, but yeah, you know what, F it, let's get into it. Nina, let's talk Nina.
Okay.
Because I think her backstory.
Is it Nina or Mina? I thought it was Mina.
It's
with an
Nina.
N.
It's Nina. It was
is it
an
Nina
N.
with an N?
Yes, okay. Yes. Okay. I do have some information about her, too, because I looked her up, because I wasn't who is this character? I think her, if she had a name, it's Mermaid. Like, that would be her comic title. But I think she's most commonly known as Nina. She was written by Jeff Lemire, who did some things for Creatures Commandos, Frankenstein, about a decade ago. I didn't read this comic. I had to look it up. But Jeff Lemire, I'm trying to look and see if his comic's on there. He did a bunch of different projects. Sweet Tooth is probably his biggest non-DC thing. Sweet Tooth is now a Netflix show. The Netflix show is okay. His comic's really good.
I didn't know that was a comic.
Yeah, Sweet Tooth. Yep. Okay. That's a comic written by Jeff Lemire. The comic's actually really, really good. The show is, it's okay. I didn't mind the first season. I didn't have interest in doing the other seasons because I didn't trust Netflix to fully adapt it well. Hope One Piece season 2 is still good.
Yeah. Knock on some wood.
Knock
might
on
be the
wood.
Only One
so,
Piece we get for a while.
Until April.
Yeah.
We have so much happening. We have Invincible. We have Daredevil. Yeah. Then. We're good. Right, we're solid.
Right. Yeah, but One Piece.
I mean, you still have to watch all the subs, right?
I have like 3 episodes of the sub I haven't watched. I've watched all the rest of it.
Shit. I'm not. I was hoping to get caught up to you.
Nope.
I'm like 2 episodes into the sub.
Yeah, no. We got like 3 episodes left. And I'm pretty sure like we're in like a different tangent thing, so it's gonna end like on a side story, so it's like hard to even want to watch the last couple episodes before it goes back.
But that's fair.
Right, continue. Sorry.
All right. General or not general thoughts of this. All right. So I'm gonna do a segment. I'm gonna call it I Got Some Questions. I was trying to do a soundbite for this. I got some questions. But I'm like, I don't like the voice enough. I need someone else to record this. All right. So I got some questions. And I got 12 of them. Does this show tie into the larger narrative of Gods and Monsters, which is the first like act, phase 1 of DCU, which was titled like a year ago or 2 years ago? Does this show tie into the larger narrative of Gods and Monsters, or was this made because it's a standalone story?
That's
my
what?
First question.
I haven't really thought about it a whole lot, but it probably is setting up, because the Mascara is a really big part of that story. I mean, like, they're like the gods, right? In the Gods and Monsters story or whatever. So the fact that we're starting off with like Cersei or whatever trying to basically kick off an apocalyptic event. Well, I guess I'll try to stop. Yeah, I got a little confusing there then. So she was actually trying to stop it.
Yes.
For real.
Yeah.
So, but the fact that they're involved at all makes me feel like, you know, maybe it's not like this isn't the story. Maybe that's not the event that was going to lead into the Gods and Monsters. But at least they're trying to like set up the bigger world as a whole. I mean, the fact that they come right out and like start referencing, you know, Themyscira and stuff like that.
Yeah. Well, another project in the first like act or part or whatever, I think it's part 1 they're going with. Okay. I don't know. They're phase 1. Their first like, yeah, whatever we're going to call it.
Wave.
First part.
Yeah.
First wave. Yeah. Their Paradise Lost, which is supposed to be a Game of Thrones like show for Themyscira, Wonder Woman back lore or backstory. Like, that's going to be a television show. So I think, I'm going to say, I think it does tie into it, but I think, like, initially this was supposed to be just a smaller story that James Gunn was going to write prior to taking over. And so I think he had a lot of the work done. And, but since they basically just gave him the keys to the car and be like, hey, make your own universe, he's just more or less transitioning the show into it because a lot of the work maybe just done.
Wrote a little bit more into that to tie Themyscira and stuff into it, probably. I could see that.
All right. Question number two. And I actually wrote an article that had the same message.
You wrote an article?
No. I read an article that was the same message. I could write an article on this. And this isn't to you. This isn't to us. This is more or less to James Gunn. How could you make me love Lena and then kill her? Fuck you. That's more or less the question.
Lena?
Nina, how could you make me love Nina and then kill her?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, I mean, G.I. Robot also. Oh, no, he didn't make it out in the end. Yeah,
he didn't make it out.
Yeah.
It's hard.
So you're is it just like, is she the only one that died from the team? Like, actually?
Yeah.
I didn't think about that. I felt like more people died, but I guess not.
Well, I mean, Princess died. A bunch of random soldiers died.
Yeah.
Professor died.
Is Clayface dead?
Probably not.
They can't. There's no way they can. Yeah, there's no way they kill Clayface off.
There's also a Clayface movie that also. There's also a Clayface movie that also got announced and greenlit.
Okay.
During the show,
but I'm not. Yeah, I'm not. I'm not questioning anything at this point. He hasn't let me down yet.
The Nina part, though, too, is just like, I do think her death makes the most sense in the sense of, like, she's not a monster. She is physically a monster, but mentally she's not a monster. And I think, like, she died. She never really
did anything at any of the missions. No offense to her. She was just kind of like a voice of reason.
Well, they just assumed she was good in water because she could swim.
Yeah.
But she never does anything, and you're right. And I think that that's the whole point was, like, she was never a monster. She was never trained. She was just caught because she swam in water. She can just swim in water. That's it. She has no combat training. She has no, like, actual, like, purpose being there, but she's labeled a monster, even though she's arguably probably the most human of all of them. But her whole purpose, I think more or less, her whole purpose was to give Bride humanity. And I think is more or less like an arc turn for Bride. Yeah, because Nina was just looking for love. She was just looking for friendship. She's just looking for people that she can relate to. She got that a little bit with G.I. Robot. G.I. Robot blows up, which makes that even a little bit more sad now watching it, because it's like she just wants that connection. And then she tries with the Bride, who the entire time, you know, belittles her. And the Bride is the one who convinces her to try to kill the princess. Which I think is a cool subversion. She's the monster. The princess is the princess. But, like, the princess is the one who has military training. The fucking, like, they didn't realize.
Absolutely abysses racer, yeah.
Yeah, and, like, just completely overestimated Nina, underestimated the princess. And it kind of makes the Bride, like, realize that, like, oh, no, she fucking cares. Like, she's devastated by this. And, like, because of that tragedy, kind of humanizes the Bride to become the leader of this group. So I'm like, it's tragic, it is sad, but I'm like, oh man, you kind of just use Nina to make the Bride a more of a human character.
Yeah.
So I guess that's the question of how you could do this.
But you also answered, like, your own question.
I did, I know. It wasn't the point, but all right. I'm gonna rattle these off.
Yeah.
Did the show do enough to make you trust James Gunn's vision? And I think you already answered this.
Yeah. I mean, because it's not just a show. I mean, we have Peacemaker, we have Suicide Squad.
Yeah.
I am a very big fan of the way that he's able to, like, kind of navigate, like, the levity and also, like, the really dark stuff. And then. Gore and stuff mixed in throughout there. I don't know if, like, every DC thing is going to be super gory and adult. I assume it's probably not, but everything we've gotten so far from him has been that.
Other than maybe Guardians, but that's like more teenage angst.
Yeah, and that's not DC.
True. But that is James Gunn.
Yeah. I guess DC realm, everything has been really, you know, gory and had that kind of tone to it.
I feel like Superman is going to like be more Guardians and be more Scooby-Doo-ish.
Well, I hope so. Because, I mean, I don't think I want Superman to be like these.
Well, yeah. I don't think Superman would ever fit in. I feel like he would more or less like Superman reacting to all of it. And I think you'll still probably get that, but maybe not as gory as it was. Was the soft launch a good call?
I mean, I think it just added to the hype for Superman.
I mean,
the trailer's already got a lot of hype out there, and then adding like the show that's just like solid, you know, just kind of reaffirms that, okay, we're going to get something interesting.
We got a lot of like tidbits. We got a lot of silhouettes and a lot of like, this show feels like Young Justice and Invincible. Whereas like the world's already lived in, we already have a lot of lore. It's more or less, we're discovering what lore is out there. We already have a silhouette of Batman. He's a very thick Batman, which I'm fine with. I think
Dark Knight Returns Batman is what I think about.
Yeah.
Yep. Big.
And that's what the silhouette is. Just big, thick. We got mentions of Bloodhaven. We got mentions of Metropolis. And we got mentions of Star City. Nina being from Star City. Yeah, I just like that. Like, he's more or less just building up the world before we get Superman. Because if you watch the trailer of Superman, there's just so much going on. Like, it seems it's kind of like Invincible season one, where Omni-Man's just he's constantly dealing with problems. And I'm like, I think Superman's going to be like that, where he deals with a lot on a day-to-day basis. And that's different from like the other Superman movies or shows, where it's like, it's more stagnated out, where it's like big events happen like infrequently, whereas like I have a feeling it's going to be a lot more frequent, very much like Invincible. All right.
Because we haven't touched on it yet, I would like to say that I love the idea of like kind of combining the whole DC universe and having like it be mixed media, where like some of it is in cartoons and some of it is live action.
Yeah.
And like, I'm totally fine with even like mixing back and forth, you know, like taking some of these characters from animation, putting them in live action and vice versa, which we've already seen with characters from the Suicide Squad in Creature Commandos.
Yeah, I like that too. How big do you think the Bride's going to be? And I put this as two different questions, but we'll put them together. Bride and Frankenstein. How big do you think they're going to be for this phase of Gods and Monsters?
I'm not sure. That's a good question. Like, is this going to, like, are we trying to start some, like, really big series? Like, I didn't even know if we're getting, like, a continuation of the series. Like, I think is that a guaranteed thing?
Well, the next question is the new team worthy of season two? Because I think he did green light season two.
Okay, so we're like,
I think James Gunn can just greenlit his own show. So,
right,
I know they were joking. There was a joke between him and Dean Lowry. They're just like, "Is there going to be a season two?" And he's like, "I don't know. Is the writer going to greenlight his own show?" And he looks at like James Gunn, and he's just like, kind of just nodding and like,
yeah. I mean, I got excited for it. I didn't realize that, like I usually do when I watch shows, I don't realize that the season finale is the season finale when I'm watching it. So at the end, when they start all of a sudden like introducing all these people, I was like, oh, this is the last episode, isn't it?
I mean, it's episode seven.
Yeah.
There wasn't much of an epilogue either. It's just kind of like, here's the rest of the next team. And you're like, wait, what? And you're like, oh.
Wait, what is? Oh, that King was the last Shark, episode.
There's a mummy. Weasel, Dr. Phosphorus, G.I. Robot's back. I feel like I'm missing like one other character.
Wasn't there like an Arrow dude or something? Was that what there was? Some other
there's a mummy
monster thing. Yeah,
yeah,
I can't remember.
I think King Shark's the biggest one. You're like, I remember him. Suicide Squad.
Yeah.
It's going to be great. He's fun.
Yeah. What if Sylvester Stallone's going to voice him again?
He's not. I don't think he is. I believe it's some other character. It is, but I don't know.
I get but
I'm okay
if
with
you're
voice acting.
Something a voice, yeah.
Yeah. So it's as long as he does a good job, I'm fine with it. Mm-hmm. What ramifications? Wait, do I want to? What ramifications come from killing the princess?
Well, I mean, they're all talking about how it's going to start a war between them and them. I mean, maybe this does kick off, you know, the big war that leads into what's going on in the future for God's monsters.
Do you think Cersei told the
truth? There's
got to
be some consequences.
Yeah.
At this point, yeah. I mean, they kind of confirmed that she was telling the truth, right? Because it was the like, expert or whatever that came in and kind of gave her opinion on it was telling the truth. That was a real expert, that she can't make up like visions or whatever. They can only show what actually is real. So it does seem like it was probably telling the truth. Whether or not there's more to that is another question, you know.
Ooh, I just thought of it. So like, what if the princess isn't dead?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, shot in the head, bullet in the head, you're right. But like, we're in a universe where like the bride can be reanimated.
Yeah, so, that's a like, good point.
What if she, and they have future technology, so if they reanimate the bride or the princess.
Yeah, or maybe she didn't even die.
Maybe.
I mean, she could have, I mean, it might have just been a visualistic choice or whatever, but when she stabbed the crap out of Nina in the pool or whatever, her eyes like changed to like bright blue.
Yes, I remember seeing that, and
so
like,
maybe there's more to it. Like it kind of felt like it was just like a cold like training thing, but at the same time maybe there is something there behind it. And you know what else,
so there's
there's like, this is like a self-fulfilling prophecy where because the bride shot her because she was going to do that, that's what actually causes her to go through with the stuff that she was trying to stop to begin with.
Well, let's play the silhouette of the tape of the silhouette, right? Or the tape of the apocalypse and all the silhouettes. There was Blue Beetle, there was Superman, and there was Batman, all dead. And my thought was, like, what fucking causes this? Like, what brings point A to point B? Because there's no like motivation. There's no, there's nothing that like propels this, other than the vision itself. So like maybe it's the whole we have a vision. Bride kills her. Now she like really wants to kill the world because of this. Like the U.S.
Yeah, the classic self-fulfilling prophecy.
Wasn't everyone a little too cool at the end? Because like the princess was just like they were by themselves. The bride was already
hear gunshot. Yeah, hear gunshot, and they all just kind of leave. Yeah, that was like, a little
weird. Everyone's a little bit too cool for this. Like they were trying to murder you. You're just like, oh, I get it. I understand where you're coming from. With like no other guards around, I'm like, this is a literal fucking monster who tried to kill you. Understandably, but you're just going to like be in a room by yourself and they're going to have weapons on top of it. So it's just, I'm like.
Yeah. Hey, there's no something we don't know, or we're way overthinking all of it.
I have two more questions.
Okay.
Is the team writing going to be a theme in the DCU?
I mean, that's kind of been like a theme with James Gunn, hasn't it? Be curious. I mean, Superman would be the big thing because Superman's the first like real solo hero. Like he doesn't. I mean, obviously
he's
the Justice League,
solo in there.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean,
I guess we'll see how much it plays into it, like how major the other characters are, and if it feels like it's like a team up movie or if it feels like it's a Superman movie.
I feel like it's going to be a Superman movie, but I also think there's going to be a huge team up part in it, because Mr. Terrific, who does a lot of team ups, Guy Gardner, Green Lantern, obviously, and Hot Girl, and Metamorpho is also going to be in it too. So I'm like, is it we just going to get a lot of team writing in the DCU? Because it just, it does feel this way, and I feel like I'm okay with it.
Yeah, I mean, it's good. Yeah, it's good team writing. The best team writing.
I think Superman is going to be like, that's going to be one of the sub stories of Superman from a writing perspective. What does James Gunn do with Superman? Is it going to feel more team like, or like, is he going to lean on more of that solo hero adventure? And like, is he, and more or less, I think he is going to do a mixture of things, but is he going to branch out from the team up, the team writing?
We'll see. That's a question.
Yeah. I have one last question, and I wrote this in different fonts and text.
Okay.
So I'm going to quote the bride.
Okay.
A power mad, sadistic, narcissistic Disney princess who wants to destroy the world. Do you think at any part this is James Gunn talking about Disney in any sort of way?
He's just a cheap shot at Disney.
I don't like, is it just like, is he thinking about like Bob Iger when he's writing this?
I mean, maybe, but at the same time, I mean, he was allowed like the freedom that he wanted with the Guardians of the Galaxy trilogy.
It's fair.
So I mean,
he also got fired by them. Like,
yeah, that's true. And rehired. Yeah. So maybe it's a little dig at Disney, or it's just a good line.
It is a really good line. I love how they flip the script on it. I'm not going to kill you because you're going to end the world because you're a power mad, sadistic, narcissistic Disney princess who wants to destroy the world. No, I'm going to kill you because you killed my friend. My only friend that I had in this world. I love that for the bride. All right, let's get into ratings.
All right.
Do you want to be the first one to give the rating for season 3, or should I?
You know, a solid like 4 plus. I enjoyed the show. I can't think of anything aside from being like longer. I can't think of anything more that I would have wanted from it.
Man,
which is a good sign.
I laugh because like you said a solid 4 plus, and I literally typed up a solid 4.
yeah
because I was trying to like, I usually like to do the 4-4+, be like, give a little leeway, but I'm like, this is just a solid great TV show. And this is what I wrote: a Guardians of the Galaxy level success for the show. Solid writing, solid animation, but what makes this special is the characters, a James Gunn specialty. It's not necessarily a must watch on its own merit, but it's definitely a show that you'll be happy you took a chance on. And that's that's Screechers Commandos. It's, you're not going to regret watching it, but I'm not going to be like, you have to watch it. It's it's a really great show.
It's not.
Yeah. And I think it's that's
not the greatest show ever made on its own, but yeah, it is definitely extremely solid and worth watching.
Yeah. And I think that's just James level type of, I just feel like that's the quality of his writing. I don't think he's ever made something that I'm like, damn, this is elite. This is amazing. This is the best thing ever. But everything he's ever wrote, or at least that I've watched, has been great. Has been solid. I mean,
Guardians 3 is pretty good.
It's 4 plus. It's up there. 4 plus, 5 minus area.
Yeah.
It is. Yeah, it's just, it's there. I'm like, it's solid. And if the DCU is just a solid 4 the entire way.
Yeah.
That's a great floor.
Look out, Marvel. Yeah, right.
That's early Marvel success.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, but comparing like, I guess we haven't gotten that far, but to watch like the new Superman movie when it comes out and compare it to like Iron Man, the first Iron Man, like that'd be kind of interesting.
Ooh, that would be a good comparison. We'll have to do that when Superman comes out 6 months from now.
Right.
All right. MVC. Most valuable character. And I have a list of like the rankings for characters. as always. But I do, I think the one is, I'm pretty set on the one, I think.
Yeah, there's really one that comes to my mind.
Who are you thinking?
Probably the same person you're thinking.
Bride?
Yep.
Yeah. I think she's the best character. I think the show is more or less about her character and her evolution as a leader.
She's really the one that like kind of grows throughout the show. You can't really say that like Weasel or Dr. Phosphorus really grow. They're kind of the same character throughout. Like we learn about like why, but I don't know if they really grow.
I think Rick Flag was weirdly kind of that character, but then like he got hit by Frankenstein.
Yeah.
Nina's another one where I'm like, ooh, I think she makes a jump at the end, but I think she's more or less, I hate to say it, but a stepping stone for the bride.
Mm-hmm.
And I hate saying it that way, but narratively speaking, she kind of is that character.
Yeah.
So I had Dr. Phosphorus as two, because I think visually and like just Alan Tudyk in that, general.
Yeah, I love Alan Tudyk. It does kind of bring me to the little tangent. The other show, the other DC show that I feel like is super underrated, Doom Patrol.
Doom Patrol.
Have you ever? Yeah, have you so actually ever watched it? Season. Yeah, the first. I watched season of that the first two seasons. Mr. Nobody. It does start to fall off a little bit, but yeah,
yeah.
You know what's funny is like that show. I feel like has a lot of similar vibes to what James Gunn is doing. Like you know, it's got like kind of this ragtag team of weirdos. Mm-hmm. It goes some really weird directions. It's not afraid to like push weird boundaries, and yeah. I loved it for that. Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, Alan Tudyk is great. I'm happy he's there. Of course, Sean Gunn, the tanks. A staple, and James Gunn.
Yeah.
Yep. So, but yeah, Dr. Phosphorus was number two. Which simply, like visually, I just think his character is just fascinating to watch. Like the animation behind his character is just—it's really cool just to watch his body in the background. It's very trippy. Rick Flag was my number three. I think he was very much the main character of the show up until episode 5, and then the bride kind of took over. Nina was 4 for me, and Princess was 5 because I think like she's an interesting character that like she's the interesting side character that you're like there's something off about her,
yeah,
and I don't quite know it.
Still don't quite.
I kind of want to get into some lore a little bit about. This character, the princess.
Okay.
So you know the act. I don't actually know her character from the comics, and didn't do much to look at it.
Comics.
I don't know if she is. So
yeah.
The actress who plays her is Maria Bakalova.
Okay.
Do you know anything about her? Nailed it.
No.
She is the first actress ever casted. In the DCU, her character, more or less, the show was made around her character.
Okay.
And if you didn't know this, have you ever watched the second Borat movie?
I've seen parts of it. Wait, is that?
Do you know the famous part with Rudy Giuliani?
Yeah, yeah. Wait, is his the one that plays his daughter in that? That's her.
That's her. That's her.
Oh, okay.
She's the princess. Okay. And like if you look at pictures, she freaking looks like the princess. Like they're like almost a one-to-one match. And she might so this is why I think like I don't think she's dead, and I actually think she might be one of the main villains for Gods and Monsters.
A little live action crossover. So that's back to the because it looks so much like her character. Oh, that's kind of interesting. That's an interesting thought.
Yeah. Yeah, okay. I just looked it up before I was while waiting for you. I was just kind of like, all right, I'm gonna look up some more background information. And I was like, oh, this
is kind of like an interesting way to see if like there'd be a crossover between the animation and not. Like, oh, well, if they're modeled after the person that voices them, it's probably a sign that maybe they want to use them in live action at some point.
Maybe. I mean, Frank Grillo looks a lot like Rick Flag Sr. It makes sense.
Yeah. He's definitely that rough and tumble person. You know, it's interesting. I didn't think about it that way.
I just want to bring it up. I have a little bit more lore.
Yeah.
I have a little bit more lore. Okay. But yes. Backstory. This is where we get into the segment I call rankings.
Rankings.
Rankings. I could probably do better, but I don't know. Rankings are fun. I like ranking things. All right, oh, yeah. Backstory of the main creatures, Commandos. We're not going to do episodes because I feel like more or less all the episodes are kind of just the same. Not that they were the same, but like they all kind of just the had quality, their own same great quality. I'm like, I think just saying what the backstory is better. So I have a list of seven of them. Number seven is Red Flag Senior because we didn't get much of it. So Red Flag Senior is my number seven. We didn't get much. More or less, we got him talking about his backstory. So this is kind of like the loose, like
talking about his son a little bit. Yeah,
yeah. Which I do love that they did that. Frankenstein's my number six.
Yeah,
and this is more interactive too. We will decide together because I'm still kind of like on the order of things. Frankenstein's number six. I think his backstory isn't really tragic because it's very much the same as The Bride, but I think what's tragic is like the people he hurts. Like the story of him, the old lady, and like how he kills the old lady at the end because I forget that his motivation for it. Or if there really was any motivation.
Did he kill her? Because it isn't the end credit scene him sitting back new at that house with her again? It's a new old lady. Okay.
I'm pretty sure it's a new old lady, or it's either a new old lady or it's the same old lady, but it's more or less not a backstory. It's a story forward.
Okay.
I couldn't figure out what the
post is. Like we weren't getting a flashback. We were getting
a flash forward.
Future story. Yeah. Okay. I can see that.
That just thematically worked. So I'm like in my head, it's either a flash forward and that lady's already going to die, or it's a new lady that he kind of just like, here's my whole story of love, and then he's going to kill her at the end because that's just what he does. I think it's tragic, but I don't think it's tragic for Frankenstein. But it's six. Like, it's still really good. I'm like, it's just on the lower end of things. It's not, Frankenstein's not a backstory that I think of. G.A. Robot I have at number five.
Yeah.
And I didn't think it was going to be that low.
Yeah, but he's a robot.
Yeah, and this whole is like he's fine. He doesn't understand. Like he doesn't have emotions. But this whole time, he just wants to kill Nazis. But that was an interesting, like, ironic twist that we already talked about. Four is Dr. Phosphorus. Three is Bride. Two is Nina, and one is Weasel. Nina, I had lower, but like I keep thinking Nina more, and I'm like, I don't know if this is just the bias. What's it called? The biases where it's like very close. There's an official name for it, but I'm blanking on it. But like, recency, I don't know if it's bias. Just like recency bias. Yeah. I don't know if it's recency bias or it's like, it's just a really good backstory. So Nina, I'm like, I question where I put her, but I have her at two. As of right now, it's two. It might be less.
Yeah, well, I don't know. Her, realistically, I mean, her, Weasel, and Bride, and Phosphorus. I guess it's those four, right? Like, those are the four that we're talking about for the most part. The other ones are kind of all down below. I mean, there's an argument to be made that the Bride could be lower on the list just because, like, her story is tragic, but it's also, like, short.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. In a sense, you know, she doesn't have like the full life experience kind of thing. I guess it doesn't really tell us how long she was living with him, like to
100. Well, yeah,
to like train. I mean, he wasn't 100 years old, he was just a human.
It seemed like it was like five years.
Yeah, I mean, probably a few years. It's still tragic, but it's, you know, love lost. Whereas, Dr. Phosphorus literally gets framed for murdering his family. And then forced to turn into this monster where he can never be touched again. That's pretty tragic.
Yeah,
Weasel is. Weasel's story is tragic, but he's also like an animal at the same time.
I just really love how it played into it though, because like he is and isn't an animal. He's a were-weasel.
Yeah. So he's got. So he does have like emotions. Yeah.
on top of the fact that, like, he's the reason why Nina died and, like, why the princess didn't die there and then, because more or less Weasel, who can't swim, it's this whole thing, he can't swim, is drowning to save the princess because the princess reminds him of the little girl that he couldn't save before. Yeah. And that's where I'm like, ooh.
That's kind of tragic too, yeah. And then she ends up dying anyways.
By the bride. But he didn't know. He doesn't know better. So
they're all pretty tragic in their own ways. And then Nina, obviously, I mean, she was just basically, if you get rid of the fact that she had gills, just like a normal person that was kidnapped and stolen away from her family and forced to watch her dad be killed in front of her. Which is also extremely tragic.
also had a mom who abandoned her because she is a freak.
Yeah.
Mom wanted her
at a very young age. Yeah.
So it's tragic, but
she lived her whole life being like bullied and teased, trying to fit into a normal life.
Also,
maybe she is number one still.
Maybe. I don't know.
And she didn't make it out alive. She dies in the end too. So I mean, that's got to put her over, right? Weasel makes it out.
Yeah, I have Weasel and Nina. I don't know if I want to flip it. So let's, okay. Bride or Phosphorus?
I think Phosphorus is more tragic than Bride.
Okay, so Phosphorus will be 3. Bride is
4.
And then it's Nina and Weasel for 1 and 2.
I think I put Nina over Weasel. I mean, it's tough. If you consider like the rest of his life that he's lived as a Weasel and stuff like that, as a Were-Weasel, then maybe. But he doesn't seem like, I guess, we kind of talked about it. He doesn't seem that unhappy most of the time.
No,
but we don't. But
I guess I'm not going for like most tragic.
The point. Yeah,
I think I'm just going for like best backstory. And like, I just think like Weasel has this like backstory of like he's framed for this awful thing, but he's not. And I feel like it just completely like changes the outlook of his character, at least for me. Like I had that backstory, I was like, oh, I thought Weasel was just like, why are you bringing along this monster, so to speak? Like, what's the purpose? And then you realize, like, oh, he's not a monster. He's just more or less a happy dog who got framed because of the way he looks.
Yeah.
Which is a James Gunn specialty, too.
Mm.
So, we can always, like, circle back to it.
Yeah, we'll keep them even.
So, all right. A couple more. Greenlit projects we're excited for. There's 12 new projects that's coming.
Okay.
Some are...
I don't know if I know all of them.
Okay, so I'm going to give you a list of green projects that I'm excited for, and we can switch it around too. Number 12 is Waller. TV show about Amanda Waller specifically.
Okay.
And I also want to mention, I don't think the voice acting for Amanda Waller was great. I think the actress who plays Amanda Waller is phenomenal. I think her voice acting sucked. There's so many times where I'm like, it just seemed like she just was like reading plainly on a sheet of paper without any emotions or understanding. That's how it felt.
Okay.
So Waller's 12. I have Swamp Thing at 11. And a lot of it's just because it's some far ways out, and Swamp Thing isn't just on my list of like high things I'm super excited for.
Didn't we already have a Swamp Thing show that like didn't come out? Yeah.
Yeah.
Back when the old DC shows.
DCEU, it got canceled like halfway through airing season 1.
Yeah. Yeah. Something weird like that.
So, The Authority is number 10, which is like this weird group in the comics that I wasn't even aware of. It's 10, but I honestly feel I wouldn't be surprised if this is the best project of the bunch, just because James Gunn is really good at just doing that.
Taking like, these,
oh, you don't know who these guys are? Well, you're going to love them.
Best. Yep.
Paradise Lost is number 9, And honestly, I might put that higher now after being you speaking, because this Paradise Lost might be one of the most important projects coming up.
Right. For the future of DC,
But it's number 9 because I don't know much about it, and it's hard to like speculate, and I know it's really a far ways out yet. Number 8 is Booster Gold. I believe that's going to be a series for HBO. It's just a far ways out. I don't know much about it. Booster Gold is an interesting hero. I think he could have a really cool. Yeah, he's a really goofy hero that like has he's like similar fame of like Deadpool.
Yeah,
a lot of people like Booster Gold. It's just, it's a far ways out, and I don't know much about anything for the series.
Right.
Number 7 is Batman Brave and the Bold.
Yes.
And the reason why it's not higher up is because there's no script. And there's still that talk of Batman Part 2 might be going into the DCU anyway.
I think it's just going to get canceled.
You think so?
Yep. At this point, yeah.
It might.
I think it's almost a good idea for them just to cancel it and try to keep the DC like on track, like as far as like on one note for a little while, instead of having these other side things. Not that I don't want to see the Batman 2, but I just don't know.
I like that James Gunn is just like, Matt Reeves, let's just, if you want to do it, let's do it. If you want to finish your project, let's do it. And I like that. It doesn't really make sense. It might be better off for them to do it, but I do like that they're giving Matt Reeves the opportunity to finish it. If they don't, I think we are okay with moving on. As much as I think we both love the Batman. Number 6 is the new Clayface movie that just got announced like within the last month.
It's a movie. Okay.
Yeah. And it's supposed to be live action too. I think the reason why like I'm all for it is James Gunn is just like, it was a really good script. And after like the Penguin, that season and that being like that whole, like, why is this even a thing? Why is this a show? Like, we didn't ask for this. And then watching it and be like, oh, that's why it's a thing. Someone wrote a really cool idea with a point and a message. And because of that, it became this great, great thing. And I'm like, if they're just randomly greenlighting a project, like a random Clayface movie, that means it's probably a pretty good script. And I'm for it. I think like if we're going to get elite movies, I think elite movies are going to come from really more obscure projects like Clayface.
Mm.
All right. This is my top 5.
Okay.
Creatures Commandos Season 2 is my number 5. Yeah.
After seeing the first season, it's hard to not be excited for another season.
Well, I know what to expect. I know what's happening. And, man, it's that title sequence, by the way, too.
Oh, yeah.
It's great. Number 4, Peacemaker Season 2.
Yep. Yeah, I'm excited
about that. This might be in a mix of, like, proximity plus we already know what to expect. Season 1 was phenomenal. It was a 4+ show. It's coming out in August, coming up really soon. So that's why it's like my number 4. Like, I'm excited for it. Number 3. Ooh, I'm going to switch this. My number 3 was Supergirl, but I'm going to say Lanterns. And I'll explain why when we get to Supergirl. We already got the 2 casting for Hal Jordan, John Stewart. Guy Gardner's going to, I don't know if he's going to be in the show, but he's going to be in the universe. I'm just excited because the idea of like a Lanterns True Detective show that's going to be more grounded in Earth base, but like, I don't know. I'm excited to see what this project is about, and I'm excited to get more Green Lanterns shows.
Yep.
So I'm excited for it, and it's coming out shortly. My number 2 though is Supergirl Woman of Tomorrow.
Okay.
If I didn't read that comic written by Tom King, I wouldn't be as excited. This movie probably would be 6 or 7.
Okay.
But I read the comic. It's just how to explain it. it's a more jaded Supergirl who finds this like little girl on this planet. Her father got murdered. This girl wants revenge. And so she more or less helps this girl get revenge. But you just get really like this epic tale of like different civilizations and essentially Supergirl trying to find herself and become this like greater hero. And it's just, okay. It's not edgy, but it's like, it's more of a hardcore Supergirl story. Okay. That I can't really explain without spoiling more to it. But there's like this, the Bane villain, I believe it's like Creole or something similar. The one who killed the dad. They're just trying to like follow him through the cosmos.
Mm-hmm.
And then they eventually, the Creole or whatever his name is, eventually finds like this genocidal like race, alien race. And you can kind of just follow the damage of this race. And it's, I'm not giving it the explanation that it deserves because it is just a really good story. As well as, I'm excited for Miley Alcock. I think she's a really good actress. She was good in House of Dragons season one. And I think she's a really good fit for this movie. Okay. And then number one is obviously Superman.
Yep.
It's the first movie.
It's Superman.
Yeah, it's just Superman. Yeah, I'm excited for it. That's my number one project for 2025 too.
I think I would have to agree.
It sets.
There's so much riding on it too. Yep. Mm-hmm.
So yeah, that is Green Projects. I'm excited for the top five. All right, I have one last one.
Okay. What do you got for me?
Villain. Who's the greatest villain of Creatures and Commandos?
I mean, they're all villains, right?
In a way. I will say Dr. Phosphorus is on this list because he's technically a villain or antagonist at some point.
Yeah.
To me, it's between two. Or three. Okay, I wrote down five, but my top three... Clayface is at four because I think he's just exciting, but he's a cameo experience.
Yeah.
I think the three that we're going for, I think number three will be Frankenstein.
Okay.
More or less, I think his character didn't need to be a part of the show. I don't think his backstory.
Yeah, especially since when he finally runs into the bride, she just shoots him in the head a few times, and that's the last time we see him for the rest of the episode.
Yeah. Yeah, I think like it sets him up for like larger things potentially, but I think like for season one, he didn't really do a whole lot other than take Rick Flag out. I keep calling him Frank Grillo.
And Clayface. He beat Clayface too.
Yeah, but Clayface is an extra too.
Yeah, but
yeah,
I mean, Clayface ain't no slouch.
I think it's really between Cersei and Princess, and I think I'm gonna go Princess just because of like how it ended.
Yep.
But I think Cersei is the initial villain.
Yeah. Yeah. Definitely. I mean, she's one that, like, initiates the conflict. But, yeah, especially after that murder of Nina at the end.
Yeah.
The princess.
And then dies, tragically. Yep. Potentially.
Yeah.
Nah.
I think you're right, though. I think she's not dead.
She's coming back, baby. Maybe, she's a cyborg.
Maybe it... I could see James Gunn using like this random little show as actually like a really big launching point for like the whole series. You know, like setting up like one of the main antagonists for like the whole thing. I could see that.
Ooh. Okay. Let's talk the larger picture, right? You've seen the Superman trailer. You've seen all of that?
Yeah. Yeah, of course.
All right, we're going into the next segment I was gonna call Gimme the Lore. And we kind of already talked about most of the lore that I've already like kind of found. Bloodhaven, Metropolis, Star City is all mentioned. We've seen Blue Beetle, who more or less is confirmed, and James Gunn even spoke like how he wants more Blue Beetle stuff. I don't know if they're going to take Blue Beetle from the Blue Beetle movie. I think that was their intention, but I don't know if that's going to be what's happening. But Blue Beetle, they definitely want more Blue Beetle. Or that's what he said in a recent interview.
Mm.
But larger lore, right? Superman, We know Lex Luthor is the villain, but we know there's an extra villain there. There's a black figure in the trailer. Mm-hmm. And we know that Cersei is out there, and we know that the princess potentially is Apocalypse level villain. Mm-hmm. My question is, I feel, and this is a loaded question, I feel that there is more. I feel like we're setting something up that I don't know.
Mm.
Do you get the sense that we're setting up another person? Like, it's not going to be out of what we see. It's going to be like the main villain from Gods and Monsters. We haven't seen them yet.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't think we've seen like the actual like big bad, but I think maybe I could see it being like, you know, these are pawns in place that are all moving towards that big bad already, and that's, from the start of this conflict here.
Thank you, by the way.
It seems very Suicide Squad-esque to kind of kick off the apocalypse through their actions.
It does. Task Force M, not X.
Yeah.
So my question is, all these pieces are circling, and it doesn't... I'm struggling to find, like, who are they setting up? Because it feels like they're setting up something or somebody. And we have little bits of information. We know that there's going to be a monster kaiju in Superman. We know there's a black figure. We know there's Lex Luthor. We've seen that in the trailer. We know that in Creatures Commandos, there was a prophecy by Cersei that Polkistan and Princess Ida? What is her name?
Ilya?
Ilya, yeah. We know that, like, she was supposed to bring upon the apocalypse somehow. Still possibly can. But obviously, there's something missing. And the question is, who is that? Who is missing, or what is missing? Like, who is the circular villain or villains that brings up, you know, like, who's the big bad here?
That's a good question. So, Gods and Monsters, correct me if I'm wrong. Is that not the war between Atlantis and Themyscira?
I think that is Flashpoint.
Okay. What is the god?
There is the Justice League Gods and Monsters. This is the version of Justice League of where the Batman is a vampire and Wonder Woman is, I think she's in it. I forget. It's just a more twisted version of those characters.
Oh, is that one?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Okay.
But I think
confusing myself.
But I think Gods and Monsters isn't going to be that, like, based off that comic. I think Gods and Monsters is more or less there's monsters and there's gods. Superman being God, Wonder Woman, Themyscira being God. Monsters, obviously.
Monsters. Yeah.
So that's why I asked, like, is Bride Frankenstein going to be a bigger aspect of this? Because they are monsters. Superman is the god. Who's the villain of this story? Who's circling? So I'm looking at the main, like, there's lanterns, there's Supergirl. I feel like Supergirl is its own thing based off the story I read. I can't think of what's with Circle. Peacemaker, I think, probably has bits and pieces of it. Suicide Squad, we already know, but that's Starro. The Thinker is in that movie too. I'm just trying to think of, like, who's the big bad here? Like, it can't be Darkseid. I don't think James Gunn would do Darkseid.
I would be pretty disappointed if it was Darkseid. I
wouldn't be disappointed. I would be
still excited, but
I think James Gunn and Darkseid, yeah.
But
I just can't imagine James Gunn doing Darkseid.
Yeah, it feels very mirror-esque of what Marvel did with Thanos if you go Darkseid right away.
Well, not just that, but just like they've already tried it. They did it in the animated universe. They did it in the live action or Zack Snyder. James Gunn very much seems like he takes, like, the villains that people forget about. Or it's more obscure. So I'm like, who is the obscure villain that he's going towards? I'm gonna, oh, I'm gonna do like top 25 DC villains.
Yeah, like world. What's
Yeah, I want to go like I want to just take the list of like what we could be working towards. So let me. Okay, I should have done this a little bit. So Darkseid, obviously, Brainiac's one.
That's what I was thinking was Brainiac. I don't think he fits for. I feel like Brainiac is like an Ultron level threat, which I know is like,
yeah,
shouldn't compare things so directly, but like that's like a, you know, like a one big event kind of thing. Brainiac, I guess they could do like some future thing where like he takes over and stuff, but that also seems a bit too Marvel.
Well, I think Brainiac's in Superman. I feel like Brainiac is just like that Superman villain movie. That I think he's in the Superman movie. That's my best guess, is the second villain. Or Bizarro. I think Bizarro might be the black figure that he's fighting.
But yeah, I think we do get Bizarro a lot.
I think Brainiac's it.
Brainiac is like one of my favorite villains guess. Of all time. So
I know. You're Brainiac 5 in Discord.
Yep.
Gorilla God is actually in the we didn't speak of this. Gorilla God is in that vision. He's a part of the apocalypse.
Oh yeah, I remember that. Yep.
Yeah. He's the monkey in there. We forgot about it. Gorilla God. So he's a part of it too. So there's a Injustice League or
Legion of Doom.
Masters of the Universe. Legion of Doom. Yes.
Legion of Doom.
Like that could be a part of it. And like Polkistan, like the Princess Legion of Doom makes sense with Gorilla Grodd. Oh, did we just figure it out? It's Legion of Doom, isn't it?
I mean,
it seems like it's Legion of Doom, like, isn't it?
It would be interesting to have like a villain team up because we haven't really done that in anything yet, aside from like if you consider like Suicide Squad. But like to actually have like an antagonist group.
Team writing.
Yeah, maybe
we figured it out, didn't we? ADHD superpower.
It does kind of seem kind of fast to go straight to the Legion of Doom, but I guess if you set them all up in all the different movies and stuff like that,
is it too fast? Like this is a universe that's not starting; it's already lived in.
That's true. They're already existing and stuff like that.
So. The princess isn't a bigger character, is she? Like, there's not like a Legion of. Oh my god, I'm gonna just look up Legion of Doom characters and see what she fits. We might have to do a whole new episode of like predictions. Legion of Doom,
DC prediction.
Yeah. All right, I'll save that all. We'll save it. I don't know if you want to look it up. I'm going to look at other villains. Let's look at the other possibilities and not just get set. I don't think they'd do Black Adam at all. Ra's al Ghul, Bizarro. Look at bigger villains. General Zod, I doubt they would go that route. Maybe another thing that they did, though, is what's it? Ultraman? Different dimensions.
Oh, Superboy Prime. Would I don't know if they want to. I don't know.
Multiverse already?
Yeah. I mean, that's literally what Marvel's in the middle of doing right now with Robert Downey Jr. and Doctor Doom and stuff.
Okay. So I don't know. So my list ran out because it's 25 and like freaking Black Mask and Hush is on that list. I'm like, that doesn't make sense. No. Okay. Legion of Doom seems most appropriate.
I mean, the Anti-Monitor.
Yep.
Trigon.
I don't feel like they'd do Trigon without Teen Titans.
Yeah, Vandal Savage. It could be more interesting, though, if you did Trigon without... Because you don't need Raven with Trigon.
No.
He is like his own thing without her.
Are you looking at Legion of Doom or other villains it could be?
No, these are other villains. Legion of Doom didn't really have anything good in it that seemed to fit the princess. Mongol.
Okay. Mongol. Yeah.
Apocalyptic like threat villains that could actually like pose a threat to everything.
God, who could I'm still on Legion of Doom. I can't get off of it. That's bias. All right, you continue on your list. You continue on.
Yeah. I mean, Anti-Monitor is a really cool one, but I feel like that's one that is like late into the story that you do Anti-Monitor.
Yeah. I don't know if the pieces revolve around Anti-Monitor, but I think Anti-Monitor fits. It's gods and monsters. And I keep looking at Legion of Doom, and I'm like, it just fits because Brainiac is part of Legion of Doom. Girl of God's part of Legion of Doom. Yeah. Lex Luthor is part of Legion of Doom. Sinestro is a part of Legion of Doom.
Sinestro. Yeah.
Yeah. Vandal Savage, I think, would be a decent character they bring back. So it's... that I feel like the princess has to be somebody. Like a variation of somebody that we know.
Yeah, I mean, that would make sense.
Okay. Any other villains you see that could hit Anti-Monitor?
No. Mocha, that's pretty much it.
But I don't know. Doomsday. It's the gods and monsters. Yeah, what did you do? Doomsday already? That's the question. Okay,
well, Doomsday is such like a Superman level villain.
Yeah.
Like, I know technically destroy the world, but it's so hyper-focused on Superman, it's hard to be like a main DC threat.
Leading hypothesis, Legion of Doom. I think that fits very well. So
yeah, I think that it ticks all the boxes, right? That's what we're going with. Lock it in.
Lock it in. Legion of Doom. ADHD superpower. It fits the team writing. It's the theme. All right.
Yep.
James Gunn, we figured you out.
Yep, we're on to you, Gunn.
We would love to have you on here to tell us why we're wrong.
Yeah. Come on. Join our podcast per episode.
We have 10 to 20 viewers per episode. So, hey.
It'd probably be a lot more if you came.
Could you imagine? He just comes on, just like, since you don't have a huge following, here's all the secrets. You would never.
Yeah. Oh, God.
I'm gonna start like blue skying him because I'm like getting into blue sky now. I'm gonna just start like talking to him and see if he responds. Like, it's Legion of Doom. Yeah. I already found it.
I know it. Yeah. I got you. I got your number, Gunn.
All right. I think that's it for Screechers Commandos.
Yeah.
Brandon, you want to say anything for the ending of the premiere of season 3?
I apologize about my chihuahua. I'll say
your
that.
Your dog has a lot of things to say. Bina.
Yeah, she wants to tell us that she liked it. Hey, stop. If that's a happy sound she's making.
She's just chasing squirrels.
Yeah, just chasing squirrels. My poor chihuahua.
She's just warning us of the apocalypse that's happening. World War III is coming. She's just letting us know. She saw the vision.
She's well aware.
In our frame of mind, she's just chasing squirrels, man.
Yep. Just chasing squirrels, huh, chihuahua?
Well, we predicted two things. Bina's vision and Legion of Doom coming for gods and monsters. All right. Well, thank you, everybody, for listening. This is season 3. And even if we're getting the
Yep. Thank you.